Good evening, and welcome to the show that is the show before LaveCon.
You know, it's so nice you're all throwing me a party.
A party? I like parties.
What's the party for?
Me!
What Amelia meant was, why are we having a party?
Because you all get to be shot of me.
That's not an excuse for a party. That's terrible. We wouldn't dream of shooting you.
You speak for yourself. I've got my beam laser polished and primed ready. However, before we reach that particular milestone and give him his blindfold, we'd better get this week's news out of the way. 10th Fleet refused to resign.
Annual Zero-G Pong Tournament enters second week.
Going for Gold 3. Update.
Egging Tharg on. Secret liaison between the Pilots Federation and the Eight-Sided Menace revealed.
Commander Taran arrives to provide security.
Hutton's stable.
And the community, as ever, is mostly unstable.
There's something about the number 10, and a total inability to realise that the light at the end of the tunnel is actually Alec Turner in an oncoming scarab. Whether it's the now infamous goings-on at number 10, Downing Street, Hankey's insistence that his 10th Fleet carrier doesn't in fact support the 10th Fleet, or the actual 10th Fleet themselves, the number 10 has become synonymous for going on far beyond the reasonable limits of that ship has sailed. We do wonder whether during the Paladin Wars of 3308, the Eggypoos were in fact worshippers of the Roman numeral X. The 10th Fleet, an ongoing thorn in Hutton's side, appear to still be insisting that they have a mandate. No, not Netflix and chill, a mandate. Some indescribably silly authority given to them by mismatched statistics, dodgy accounting, and an inability to tell which number is bigger than which other number. Their latest shenanigans surround their political representative over in Barnard Star, who has declared himself the winner in the latest round of elections against the Sol Workers Party, who appear to have taken a wrong turn somewhere and are terribly, terribly lost. After recent shenanigans involving the 10th Fleet telling big porcupines about what they've been up to in their free time, spending taxpayers' cash on new duck houses for their pond, and denying utterly that they have anything to do with absolutely anything that might be their fault, the 10th Fleet just refused to realise that they made a huge boo-boo when they decided that Barnard Star, one of the most famous systems in the galaxy, was their home and they wanted it. Of course, ignoring for a second that not only were the Barnard Star Dockers the leading authority on just about anything there, or that Alvin and the Hutton Truckers were already in charge and running it quite nicely, thank you very much, nor that the infamous Abbott and his mad scatological monkeys really didn't want to change the status quo. Mr. Shouty, supremo behind the documentary team following the Barnard Star Dockers, referred to their political representative as a blonde-haired thunder twonk.
No, he didn't.
Well, it was something like that.
Now you know what he called him.
Yes, yes, but this is a family show.
Yeah, but you can't change the news. Now, say it.
Okay. He called him a total wank puffin.
That's better.
Anyway, he used rude words, which was probably accurate, weren't very nice. Their representative, despite being in an election against someone who doesn't own anything useful in system, has insisted that he has a clear mandate to run the system and utterly denied that he's a useless stain upon the mission boards locally, fit only to be the butt of jokes on Galactic Comedy Show, Whose Asp Is It Anyway? Alvin has, in consultation with Hutton's 3302 backbench committee, that's you, the listeners, has passed a motion, which Snoz has been sent to pick up and post to the 10th Fleet.
Despite all of the planets having seasons of their own, and summer only being summer if you're in the northern hemisphere of Sol, it's summer. You can tell there are hippies around the Standing Stones in Stonehenge. The galactic population of Scots have all gone red from going outdoors with their taps off. Of course, the annual Galactic Zero-G Grass Court Palm Championships from Wimbledon are being held. After 2 years of absence due to mods, the tournament is back. Of course, it's no longer held in Wimbledon at sea level, as sea level rises meant it was far too hard to play, unless you're a dolphin, which they tried 1 year, but then dolphins on Earth became extinct, and the ones imported for the tournament violently objected to all the pollution. So, it's held in an orbital facility with a geosynchronous orbit above Wimbledon, which for the night shift is in London, which is in the UK. That little light collection of islands that you decided to break away from by destroying all of our tea. Happy 4th of July, by the way, night shifters. Anyway, this year's Pong tournament has seen a return to form for world number one, Grunty Slav, who is a master of the art of getting the ball over and under the net and flipping from the top to the bottom of the Zero-G court acrobatically. Meeting him in the final is qualifier Australian and former member of Hutton's Hawks team, the terror of the line judges everywhere, Ace Slicer, who holds the record for the fastest zero-G serve in history at just over 200 miles an hour. With strawberries and cream on the menu and neck braces for everyone attempting to follow the ball's cross court, it's good to see Pong back on the menu for 33.08.
At 6 weeks in, and with only 2 weeks to go, we are deep into the second half of Going for Gold 3, Hutton's current squadron exploration event. In a better week for data submissions, Hutton rose briefly to fourth before dropping a place in the squadron table with almost 4 billion points, but with the leaders having over 10 billion. We now have almost 60 truckers contributing data to the overall effort, with many more still out there yet to make their mark. If you want to see what's going on, go to the Going for Gold 3 events page at hot.forthemug.com/goingforgold. That's underscores, going_for_gold. Montgomery Python has continued to hold the top spot, adding to his total of 2.6 billion credits ahead of Happy Moon Monkey, Goothwine and Ed Hunter on 714 million. The ranks of the 100 million club have swelled by 2 to 18. It isn't too late if you want to take part. All you have to do is you have to have the Hutton Helper running, download it from hot.forthemug.com. You need to be in the Hutton Squadron, that's Hutt as in H-U-T-T, and you need to sell your cartographic exploration data before 7 a.m. on Thursday, the 21st of July, 3308. You have 2 weeks left. So if you haven't already done it, and we'll find out why later on in the Inquisition that no one is expecting, get out there and get busy scanning.
Speculation is rife this week that the real aggressor in the human versus metahuman versus evil scientist versus Thargoid conflict isn't an alien. It's the Pilots' Federation. With things kicking off in HIP 22460, megaships under attack and on fire, renewed Thargoid incursions, and of course dire threats of the use of superweapons, the Empire, Alliance, and the Federation have come to the sudden realization that the entire thing has been put on by the Pilots' Federation. Arf, Pilots' Federation spokesperson, broadcaster on the Frameshift Live news channel, and former pirate, has been seen muttering, "Good, good," to himself, wearing dark capes, very white makeup, and shooting imaginary lightning out of his fingers. And cackling a lot. But what does this mean for pilots of the Pilots' Federation? Is the elite ranking system just a way of training everyone to do bad things in readiness for them taking over the galaxy? Is the Pilots' Federation just building an army or navy, or is it a space force more powerful than the superpowers themselves? Are they behind Salvation, or the Witch, or the superweapon, or the mycoid virus? Is all of this tension deliberately manufactured to sell more ships, more paint jobs, and those funky retro spacesuits? People are quick to point out that the Pilots Federation are also behind the mapping of the galaxy, exobiology, research, and peaceful trade. But is all that just a way of making the cash to start yet another galactic war? Are the Pilots Federation hiding the location of Raxler, rumoured to be half-secret base equipped with planet-destroying giant laser beam, ready to start their campaign of galactic dominion? There are rumours that this autumn their evil master plan will be revealed. Safe from their home base in Shinra to Desra, and commanders will be quaking in their boots. Nice, shiny new boots, of course, only 2,000 arcs from any good outfitter, and a few that aren't so good.
With LaveCon just around the corner, Alvin has taken the extraordinary step of beefing up his security team. Whilst the Momus Bog Spaniel Danger Detachment are definitely on duty for the weekend, Alvin felt that someone entirely more shooty was required to provide trucker security. And who is shootier than Commander Taran? Terror of the spaceways, pirates quake at his very approach, nearly as scary as Alex Zuno. Taran has been at the heart of many a Hutton battle over the years, and this veteran commander has spent those years living on board his vessel, hardly seeing another soul, but every day honing his skills for that time when he was called upon. That call has now gone out, and a special beluga was sent to his secret base to pick him up and transport him to the Sol system in readiness. He will be accompanying long-retired truckers Psycho Cow T. Mad Cow and his tech monkey, the Simoof, on the haul from Space Glasgow across to the new venue in Milton Keynes. Following that, he will be providing fellow truckers with close protection from any ne'er-do-wells, salty-salty former pilot-turned-author-turned-quitters that he meets, and, of course, rampaging brides, fighting wedding parties and dangerous-looking wildlife throughout the entire weekend. Of course, he's also there to sample all the beers to make sure none of them are poisoned, and as such is most likely to be found hanging around in the bar. Commander Taran, when our hands stop shaking, we'll be sure to be shaking yours, and we promise no truckers will be getting up to shenanigans at all at the weekend, or at least not whilst you're looking.
After last week's kerfuffle of activity, all is strangely quiet in Mop Cupboard Number 2. The Master Control Panel's Situation Fretboard display is all blue and silent after a month of being splattered with red and orange, blaring noisy warnings. The last of the last wave of adverse states ended a couple of days ago, and no new problems have arisen. But more on those stories coming up. The outbreak of mods in Epsilon Eridani was successfully relieved by a number of dedicated truckers in the last couple of days, leaving it on 34%. That's still pretty low, but sufficiently ahead for the Mad Monks of Van Manen on 19. Admittedly, there is a minor war in the system, but let's take the opportunity to boost this system back into the 40s, where it usually resides. Barnard Star is basking in the temporary glow of not being bottom of the pile, 2 points higher on 36. An election is pending amongst the indigenous herd, but keep plugging away to raise influence in the system. Struggling to recover from the mods outbreak, which hit it 3 weeks ago, our most popular system, Epsilon Indy, has slumped into the special measures zone onto 37. A civil war, tying up a quarter of the system's influence, still has a few days to run, but boost the system when and where you can. Wolf 359 is the fourth of four Hutton systems on the naughty step, dramatically slumping to 38%. A watchful eye is being kept in case this turns out to have a cause other than market forces. Chepin has come to Alvin's notice for reasons not entirely good, where the CIA have moved within 5 points of Hutton for the last 3 days, repeating an incident which occurred last month. Hutton News has been led to understand that the Hanky clone army has been deployed. At the overachieving end of the Hutton systems table, we have four systems above 60%. Priorities this week are if you want to truck something, boost Epsilon Eridani and Barnard Star. If you want to shoot something, fire even more limpets at even more terraformables and go for gold for the third time.
My goodness, people get up to some fun things, don't they? I'm amazed that they've had time to tell us about them, but I imagine it's because they want you to all hear about how good their adventures are and maybe inspire you to join their events or even to set one up yourselves. This week we have news from Does the Sun Still Rise in the East in the East? At the Eldritch Gate, The Great Sagittarius Expedition, Too Hot, Too Messy, and Trex Express to Deep Space. Links for these events will be posted in the chat and also in the description of the YouTube upload. Commander the Presence's Curiosity Fuels trip to the edge of the galaxy and his Ale Fuels trip to the bathroom have both been proceeding apace, as he explains in Does the Sun Still Shine in the East, Week 18.
Captain's Log, Stardate 5th of the 7th, 3308. The mission is still proceeding well and is now through the last of the areas of thin space, heading out of Lyra's Song. It's plain sailing and easy plotting from here on inwards. An eighth of a ton of Conga ale has now been drunk. That's two bathtubs full. And for those commanders used to Imperial measurements, that's still two bathtubs full. The scanning of all flora is still proceeding apace, with the only downside seeming to be the prevalence of Osseus frustratum on many planets. This species is especially devious, as the first one can be found almost immediately, then the rest all go into hiding across the surface of the planet. This leads to searching for hours and hours over most of the moon's terrain, looking for something that shouldn't be hard to spot at all. How a 4 metre tall and wide mushroom can hide from vision, night or otherwise, is a mystery only the Braben, or those folk from Canon who used to hunt crashed Thargoids via the Mark I eyeball, can understand. It isn't just me, either. Commander, the Huntsman, is also more than familiar with this species and has told me in no uncertain terms just what he thinks of them. I reckon he has his own ale supply to deal with too, by the looks of things. I'm currently about 180 jumps from the next rest stop and waypoint, but still well ahead of schedule. I don't have to be there until the 2nd of August, according to the expedition planner, so I can afford the time to meander and poodle about. Until next time, after Lavecom, TTFN 07.
Commander Richard Fluvinez M is really excited now, as his expedition, and it really is a big one, even without a Hutton contingent, sets off this weekend. But he still managed to find time to send this note.
The plot thickens as the At the Eldritch Gate expedition is ready to launch. We have almost 180 commanders at the moment, and a total of 16 organizations signed up. We were also featured in Discovery Scanner and the community calendar, albeit with some mysterious time changes. Is this an act of the mysterious unknown planet? Only the expedition can tell for sure. We've also designed a community calendar for our fleet carriers, in which we will display carriers going back and forth, so commanders do not have to jump 20,000 light years to start searching. With over 24 carriers serving, we truly do have coverage and people that can go back and forth on a weekly basis, and people can easily access and leave the area and truly not be marooned. We also have two launch events at different times. Join in to one of them and jump with us to symbolize the start of the Great Search. You might want to be verified, since the events and the launch will be in Richard's private group. More information on the IEA Discord about how you can participate.
A reminder that the man who has a platinum card with the Brewer Corporation, thanks to all the fleet carriers he owns, is getting close to the start of the Great Sagittarius Expedition, which sets off in just under 4 weeks. It's a sort of general-purpose exploration. Uniquely, it starts from both the Bubble and Colonia and will take about 2 weeks. Hanky says that it's an expedition to Great Annihilator and Sagittarius A, plus an extended trip to farm some neutron stars on the way back to the Bubble. It's an event for both the Bubble and Colonia, and will use the fleet carriers Searcher and Oasis. There'll be plenty of opportunities for exploration and all are welcome. It will also incorporate the August hot bus, and Hanky tells us that after refuelling the carrier, it'll go into the Great Annihilator to meet with the Colonia fleet carrier, where they will see if anyone can get sucked into the Great Annihilator. So for anyone who's dreamed of going with Hanky and being sucked into a black hole, this is the ideal voyage for you, once you've finished your course of therapy. If anyone would like to contribute, Hanky will be accepting opinion polls and manufacturing instructions, as he's got more than enough tritium for the journey, thank you very much. A detailed timetable is on the Hutton Facebook event page. Lord Shouty, life model for the muggy figurine and the man who writes the lists of words that broadcasters are not allowed to say on air, wants to tell us just a little bit about the upcoming event that is too hot, too messy. But he can't. Like Vantion on a truth drug, he's unable to stop talking. So please try to sit comfortably as we bring you everything you wanted to know about Too Hot, Too Messy. But we're afraid that he'd tell you, and any complaints about this item should be sent directly to Barnard Star. But first, a little bit of history.
Mods. No, not the people who say your squadron chat is a little bit rude, or the welders of frying pans. The rampant disease that is going through the galaxy faster than a Montgomery Python can jump around it. Mods is a serious and debilitating disease that can cause extreme sadness, and in the worst cases, fraud. Many years ago, around tea time, maybe 8 p.m, there was a confabulation between the elders of Hutton Orbital. All the space metal that littered the spaceway between Alpha Centauri Star and our wonderful station, just don't count Cubicle 3, would be collected and recycled into the Hutton mug we all love and worship today.
This was later seen as a huge mistake and really should have been stopped before it started. But truckers are truckers and being just a little bit insane and, well, truckery. Delivered many, many mugs to the surrounding stations just of their own free will. However, the local coverage of mugs was utter shite, and really everyone should be ashamed. Truckers are many things, but greed should be in the top three of things. Delivering mugs within 50 light years just didn't make many credits. So it was only a matter of time before the stations around Hutton started to catch mods. The longing for a mug and the comfort, happiness and bragging rights when you own one can make mods a debilitating syndrome for those who don't own a mug.
Although, in an ideal galaxy, every pilot would own a mug. They're simply too lazy, too laissez-faire, to manage the roughly 90-minute journey to Hutton Orbital to pick up their own very reasonably priced Hutton mug. So, if they won't come to us, then we will have to go to them. An idea first employed by Commander Draxor, as she realized the necessity to mug every station within 50 light years of Hutton Orbital, with every station now having access to an emergency mug. Just simply fill it with the beverage of your choice, and for a while your mods will evaporate. Along with most of your beverage if you leave it in the mug too long. This was a huge success in the local area, curing mods for over 4,000 stations. So successful, in fact, that Commander Draxor was awarded the Golden Mug for saving so many people from the onset of mods.
A few rotations of Eden later, it was decided that it would be nice if we could eradicate mods once and for all. The boffins at Hutton got to work calculating that 56,000 stations would all need a delivery of one mug, giving access to an emergency mug to any pilot, especially those mud-ridden ones that needed just a moment with a nice cup of soup in the bar. So once again, the call was put out and truckers answered that call with, "You want us to do what?" This was usually followed by a string of expletives, but with the help of other factions and one space apprentice lent to us by Pilots Federation, we started the slow process of mugging every single station in the galaxy. Truckers went far and wide, but we found them anyway and dragged them back to deliver mugs. Thousands of mugs were sprayed by Flossie alone, teabagging nearly every pilot that visited Hutton Orbital. Nothing quite hits home like Flossie's load bouncing off your canopy. Deliveries were made and in just 90 days the entire galaxy had a mug. Alvin was so happy he didn't bite Norma all day.
But the happiness wasn't to last. The Pilots Federation decided to add many new stations and settlements to the galaxy, and just like a 21st century Prime Minister, it was soon shown that through sheer incompetence and utter couldn't give a shit, many stations had not levelled up to mug ownership. In fact, some of these stations have never seen an outsider in their existence. If just one person with mods were to show up, the entire settlement could be wiped out before we've even made fun of them. We're not even sure if some of the pads work. Some stations have still got the wrapping on them, and their cubicle 3 doesn't glow in the dark. The number of stations with a market recognised by the Pilots Federation is just over 130,000. That's a lot of stations without a mug. A lot of people who could be suffering from mods right now, they need a mug.
However, a good mug is nothing without something to put in that mug. Some stations had literally nothing to put in the mug apart from their own urine. So this time we're also going to provide a complimentary bottle of Mega Gin with every mug delivered. The moderate warming abilities of the mug combined with Hutton's best Centauri Mega Gin provides the ultimate in mod dispersal and can cure with just a single sip. This still won't stop some commanders drinking urine though, although I suppose it is nice and warm.
So, truckers, here, there and everywhere, and the thousands of hankies galaxy-wide, we need your trucking time to get this trucking mission done. We need Flossie-like pilots who will spray mugs in your face until you squeal with trucking pleasure. We need many mother truckers who can truck anything anywhere. This is twice as trucking big as the last hot mess. It's so trucking large that it deserves its own special sequel. That's why we're doing Too Hot, Too Messy.
There will be systems that need flipping. There will be stations that have banned alcohol and alcoholics, like the truckers. And we'll have to smuggle them inside the prison purse. There will be systems with more stations than inhabitants. But it matters not, because you will truck them all. Mug after mug, gin after gin, until every single station has been visited, mugged, ginned, and utterly trucked up. Mods is a serious syndrome and disease. Help us eradicate it. Help every station get a mug. Coming soon.
News now of a brand new expedition. It's Trex Express to Deep Space. Commander Trex Eyes Only has brought us news of their event, which sounds like fun.
Exploring deep space, Trex Express is heading for the farthest point in the galaxy, Beagle Point, and much more. Led by Trex Squadron and its carriers, it is expected to be approximately a 1 month, one-way journey and an additional month expected for the return home. Trex is a very young team of gamers of various ages and experience playing simulations and FPS games, and they're looking forward to meeting more commanders in Elite Dangerous. Trex is the managing player faction of the Trex Trade Brotherhood, which is a guild made up of strong traders. They share a great amount of wealth within the squadron, earning billions at once with wing mining missions. The journey to Beagle Point begins on July 29th, Friday at 2000 UTC, and as might be expected, departs from the Trex Trade Brotherhood home system, Turmakul. Commanders willing to take part should join the Trex Discord server and they can submit their proposals for points of interest to visit together, as the flight plan will be adjusted according to Commander's wishes. For example, Sagittarius A star, the centre of our galaxy, has already been added to the list. Mining is not required, but if you do like mining from time to time, Tritium buy orders with a profit will be open on the fleet carrier for miners and traders, and one is already active right now. Trex started preparation on one of its carriers for this long trip, with comfort and fun being the priority. Nice interiors, services including Shipyard, Vista Genomics, Pioneer Supplies, and of course, the bar for parties are activated. Everybody's invited for this trip, from beginners to experts, anyone who loves exploration, endurance tests, and who wants to meet new friends. The Trex motto is, let's have fun together, and let's explore together. The Trex team will continue to provide regular updates about the progress of the trip, and here's a short video showing the facilities being installed on our fleet carrier, and having a quick inspection of all those lovely services.
Today our mission is to add some additional services to our fleet carrier, because we are planning on July 29 to start a deep space trip, and before this we want all the services available for our passengers and friends.
As always, if you know of any events we've missed, email itookpart@huttonorbital.com to let us know.